Today on Real Life Radio.
When people reject God, why is God still good to them? Because he's good all the time. There will be a day, there is a coming time when God will reserve his goodness. But my friend, globally, that time has not yet come. God's mercy is extending to all the world right now.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. The culture is shifting. Pressure is rising. Faith is being tested. Now is the moment to take a stand. Pastor Jack Hibbs' brand new book, Called to Take a Bold Stand, Resilient and Effective Faith for a Godless Age, is not just another Christian read, it's a call to action. A roadmap for every believer who longs to live with courage when the world demands compromise. With biblical truth, real-life conviction, and a foreword from Franklin Graham, Jack equips you to face fear without flinching. Stand strong when others fall away. Live with purpose, clarity, and holy sacrifice in a chaotic world. This is the moment to rise above intimidation, to hold fast to truth, and to let your faith influence a culture desperate for light. Don't wait. Order Called to Take a Bold Stand by Pastor Jack Hibbs for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series called 1 Samuel and a message titled, God is Always Good. Samuel of the Old Testament was the last judge of Israel, and he was the first of its prophets. So here in chapter 10, we'll discover how we need to trust God even in difficult times. Some would say, especially in difficult times. You see, God's consistent goodness can always be relied upon regardless of our changing circumstances. When we trust God and the belief that he is always good, we'll have a new perspective on life and the surety of a bigger picture that we can't see. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that when things are going good, our minds can pretty quickly go to the trouble that must be coming right around the corner. But that kind of thinking is deceptive. God's goodness holds true in any kind of condition we find ourselves. Now, with his message called God is Always Good, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, what an amazing thing. And Lord, I'm still living off of the truth, Lord, that you taught us just this last Sunday, that the door is so open for us to talk to you all the time. And how infrequent, Lord, we might visit that path, and how infrequent, Lord, we knock upon that door when you've asked us to come. And even, Lord, you, Jesus, told us that we should talk to the Father directly in your name. What an invitation. Father, tonight, as we look into the Word, may we take the attitude of prayer and worship, and may we go into, Lord, an attitude of drawing close in knowing you more. And Father, we pray that you would translate the message into our fleshly hearts. May they be soft and pliable to your will. And Lord, that we might be a people absolutely knowing and knowledgeable of your goodness. As we sang tonight, how good you are. It's so true. And we thank you for that truth. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Why don't you grab your Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10. And we are in verses 9 to 27 tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 10, 9 to 27. And the title of the message is God is Always What? Anybody want to take a guess? No. I mean, yes. But no. Yes, you said the right thing. No, that's not the title of the message. God is always good. He's always good. Now look, you and I are both guilty of this. And I say guilty, I mean, not so wrong in a way, but are we not prone to do this? But so we should in a way. When, say, we get that job, we'll say, oh,
I got the job. God is so good. Or the doctor or the nurse calls and says, listen, your test results are back. You do not have cancer. And we put down the phone and say, God is so good. But you know what? Even if we don't get the job, God's still good. And if the doctor calls and says, you've got cancer, God is still good. In fact, listen to me carefully. If you don't get the job, it's very important to you that God is good. If the doctor does call and say you have cancer, my friend, rejoice in the fact, now in hearing that news, God is good. And he's good all the time. You see, in our lives, we begin to equate God's characteristics based upon my life circumstances. But the fact is, God is good all the time. He's always good. When we say, God's been good to me, you know, things have been going on and some things have flowed my way and things are happening. You know, God's been good to me. My friend, God's been good to you all along, even when things weren't flowing your way. He's always good. I'm so funny about things, though, that I begin to impose upon God's character when he's good and when I hold his goodness in suspect. You know what I'm saying? We might do it this way. We may not be so blunt about it, but we'll do it this way. You know, things have been going so good lately, I'm kind of scared. That is so weird to think like that. It's kind of like, oh boy, my karma is really shiny now. Like you live some kind of a mystical life. Things are going so good. You know, there's a verse in the Bible. I can't remember where it is. That's for you to find it out. But it comes to my mind, and it's from Solomon. So that means it's probably in Proverbs somewhere around there. And Solomon says that it is a sin for us to think that when things are going well, that we should then expect evil to come. God is good all the time. No matter what the circumstances might be, and quite frankly, no matter what we've got ourselves into, God is still good. You and I may not be good. In fact, you and I may have done bad to get into that rotten situation, but all the while, God is very, very good. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 19, 16 through 17, Jesus said there in that great story, as that rich young ruler came to him, that rich young ruler said, good teacher, good master, what good thing shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And so Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? There is only one good, and that is God. And you know what Jesus was saying. Good, the word good meaning, and according to Old English, a word reserved for God alone. When Jesus says, why do you call me good? When that's a word reserved for God alone, as it is in English, so it is in the Greek. It's reserved for God alone. So rich young ruler, why are you calling me good when God's the only one who's good? And what Jesus was trying to evoke out of the man is that, Jesus, you're good. You must be God. God is good all the time. And Jesus used that man's question to introduce the very nature of who God is and what God is. God is good. And we know that. And we've seen that happen in our lives, but I want to encourage you tonight, he's always, always good. Listen, as we continue our study here in 1 Samuel chapter 10, remembering this, that Israel had rejected God. You're well aware of that. They didn't want God anymore. They wanted Saul. They wanted a king, like all the other nations of the earth, they said. But listen, if Israel has rejected God, and they did, how can God be good to Israel? Think about it. Okay, look, if they reject him, then why would God be good to Israel? Human reasoning would say, if you reject God, God's not going to be good to you anymore. Isn't that how we think? That's how we think. But the fact of the matter is, we go through the book of Samuel, and even as we look at Israel today, even in the midst of these horrific times that are taking place, and obviously at this hour, war is looming in Israel, God is good, even though they don't even recognize him. At this hour, God is good. Back then, in our study, Israel has rejected God, yet God is good to them. And that's going to be the focus of our study tonight. When people reject God, why is God still good to them? Because he's good all the time. There will be a day, there is a coming time when God will reserve his goodness. But my friend, globally, universally, that time has not yet come. God's mercy is extending to all the world right now. It's amazing. He's so good. How can God be good to us? You say, what do you mean? Well, I mean us. Say, first of all, us. How can God be good to me? Do you know what I've done today? I've eaten way too much pizza today. My doctor says don't eat pizza. I've sinned. I've had selfish thoughts today. I went over 55 miles an hour today. No. You probably did too, but here's the thing. Why would God be good to me? He's good all the time. By him being good to me, or by him being good to you, or by him being good to Israel or America, it doesn't mean that he's approving of our sin and our failure. Had Israel rejected God? Yes. But was he still going to be good to them? Yes. Why? He loves, and he's good all the time. He's amazing that way. How can God be good to America when America treats him so ill and so wrong? Because God loves and God is good. Is there a day of justice coming? Oh yeah. And will his justice be right and true? Oh yeah. But it doesn't change the fact that God is so very good.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. To learn more about this ministry or to catch up on some previous episodes, go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get back to today's message. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
We will pick up in this chapter where we left off, beginning now, 1 Samuel chapter 10. We are in verse 9 down to verse 27. And we're looking now here in verses 9 to 13 specifically, and that is God is always good even when we do not deserve it. And we're going to see this as we look at our study. Chapter 10, beginning at verse 9 down to 13. Here the scripture says, "So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel," that is Saul, "that God gave him another," or a new heart. "And all those signs came to pass that day." In verses 6, 7, and 8, the word had gone out last time that God was going to do these specific things as Samuel spoke. And sure enough, verse 9, we hear the announcement that God was faithful through the prophet Samuel to show Saul that God was in this, bringing him about to be the king. And so it's amazing to me that even when we do not deserve it, even when Saul shouldn't be king, even when Israel shouldn't have a king, God is faithful and he's working. And so God gives a new heart toward life. Jot that down if you would. God is so good that he gives a new heart toward life. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look at Saul in some respect as ourselves. In a moment here, we hope to see this. That Saul was associated with religious things, but he was not yet intimate with God. But now through the prophet Samuel, he's introduced to the things of God, and by God's decree, Samuel calls Saul, and in their communication together, Saul walks away from Samuel as that communication is over, and divinely, supernaturally, God from heaven imparts into Saul a new heart. This is amazing to me. He gives him another heart. It's a new one. A heart that means this, that whatever Saul pursued before is now gone, and Saul now pursues new things. He has new thoughts. We would say today, in New Testament time, he's been converted. Now, I told you before, I'm going to tell you again, I do not hold Saul in very high regard. I know you can read some commentators and they'll hold him in high regard, and some commentators do not hold Saul in high regard. I don't think Saul was a good guy. Israel asked for a king. They wanted a king like all the other nations had kings. And God gave them their request. And in a moment, as we go through this book, you're going to see Saul be an absolute nincompoop. Nincompoop in Hebrew means somebody who is self-centered and always wanting to do their own thing. You will see Saul from time to time do some real spiritual thing, but I think it's God behind him, God honoring the office, but not the man. You know, God does that stuff. He will honor the office, but not the man. I think Saul was that kind of a man. But here the Bible says God gives him a new heart. Isn't God good? What do you think God's hopes were for Saul? That Saul would maybe come around? That Saul would maybe become a good king? Was there anything written that set Saul's life in stone that because Israel requested him to be a king, that he would be an absolute rotten, terrible man? No. That's the wonderful thing about what God's word shows us, that at any time, repentance can be had and a life can be changed. Isn't that what Jesus was doing with Judas in the garden? When Jesus went up, or as they approached one another, I should say, Jesus and Judas, didn't Jesus say to Judas, "Is it with a kiss that you betray the Son of Man?" I believe that Jesus was trying to get Judas to repent. And I think right then and there, Judas could have found forgiveness. But it didn't happen. God knew that. But in Saul, the Bible says here that God gives him a new heart. Even when we do not deserve it, God gives us a new heart. What were you doing? Where were you at when you met up with Jesus Christ? Were you being so holy that God says, "Man, I got to save that guy. Look at him. I mean, we really need him in the kingdom. If we don't get him in the kingdom, it's going to be half a kingdom." Oh, I think that you and I were just absolutely little tyrannical sinners. And God says, "Man, if I don't save that guy, he's gonna die. He's gonna be in hell. Let's go get him." He put a new heart in us. He saved us. One of the great things of this, and something that we would hope to see in Saul, is that now that you have a new heart, there'd be a desire to seek the Lord, a desire to know the Lord. Now God's gonna put a new heart in Saul, and Saul's going to do some pretty interesting things. But how does that equate to us? How do we take this Old Testament passage and make it life for us? If God's put a new heart in us, you will have a heart toward the Lord. You will be one to hunger and thirst after righteousness. It happens inside of you because God puts a new heart in you in conversion. Jot it down in your notes if you would. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 6 verse 1 says, "Therefore, leaving the discussions of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or completion or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God." I mean, those things are obvious. "Of the doctrines of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment." The author of the book of Hebrews goes on to teach that let us move on to more advanced things because our hearts are new. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes I wish this was not the case, but isn't it amazing that the moment we're converted, we have a new heart, says the Bible. But wouldn't it be great if the moment we were converted, we got both a new heart and a new mind? I do not like the fact that I have my old mind. In fact, do you realize that the trouble you and I go through right now is a result of our old mind? That's a bummer. I wish I could get a brand new mind. But then if I had a brand new mind, I wouldn't have to read the Bible every day to get brainwashed, because all this junk that comes into my mind has to be scrubbed with Bible. God has promised us a new heart, but he told us we have to renew our minds. And that's the Christian discipleship walk in this life. It's tough, but you know what? You don't sit around and say, "Eh, I'm not going to do it. It's too tough." There's an interesting event that takes place within us. Because we have a new heart, we're driven to the excellency of Christ. We want to know more. How's this done? Ezekiel 18, verse 31. Ezekiel 18, 31 says, "Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get for yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why should you perish? What a great statement God announces to us there. Again, Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols, and I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. That's conversion. That's a relationship with God. And then you know 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 17. You know it well. Therefore, from now on, Paul says, we don't regard anyone according to the flesh anymore. Even though we have even known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. Why? Or therefore, because if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And that newness that Paul speaks about there is a new heart, a new life, new thinking. It's fantastic. Being born again. Being born again results in a radical and obvious transformation of life. Being born again causes us to pursue God. And the question tonight is, are you pursuing him? Or are you stationary? Are you hungering after God? Or are you anemic and not hungering for him at all? Are you sleepy about the things of God? Or do you want to pursue him? When the Holy Spirit's at work, there's a pursuit after him. And so in verse 9, and I know I'm spending a lot of time here, but there's a reason for it, and I don't want to be skipping something that's important to me that I'm going to share here in a moment. When he says here in verse 9, so when it was that he had turned his back, he went from Samuel, that God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. Allow me this freedom for a moment. All these signs came to pass that day. God fulfilled his word. Saul had a new heart. And even though that nation had rejected God, I believe God wanted to do good things for Israel. And frankly, God will do good things for Israel as we study this book. And here's the deal. If God wanted to put a new heart in Saul, who God didn't pick from the beginning anyway, God is so good that if he'll do that, then what about us whom God has picked? And he's put a new heart in us. Verse 10 and verse 11. God is good all the time, even when we don't deserve it, in that he causes our lives to make a difference. Verse 10 and 11. And when they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet Saul. And then the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and he prophesied among them. And it happened that when all who knew him formerly or before saw that indeed he prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, what is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? I mean, we're talking a new heart here. Hey, the guy's a shepherd and the son of a rich kid, a rich guy. Well, what's his deal? Now he's ministering with the prophets of God. You ever have that kind of said about your life? Especially family. Who are you to tell me about God? I changed your diapers. I had that, my cousin told me that. What are you telling me about God for? I changed your diapers. What does that have to do with anything? But isn't it true? Jesus says the prophets got honor everywhere they go except their own house. If you can witness to your family, you're doing a good job.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio and his message called God is Always Good. You know, by the way, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Samuel, a series highlighting the prophet Samuel, who was called by God during one of Israel's darkest ages to bring the people back to a true heart of worship. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Daniel Cohen here from Israel. If you love Pastor Jack Hibbs' fearless approach to teaching God's Word, you'll love the Real Life Network. It's built for warriors who want the truth, God's truth. On the Daniel Cohen Show, we bring you stories the mainstream media downplays. It's time to start getting your news from people you trust, and it's totally free. Sign up now at reallifenetwork.com.
Looking for real answers in real time? JackHibbs.com is your go-to destination for resources on faith, world events, and everything in between. Explore Happening Now, where Pastor Jack Hibbs takes a timely, no-nonsense look at today's biggest issues. blending biblical insight with the latest headlines. Now, whether you're curious about the world around you or you want guidance on a personal level, Pastor Jack has you covered. And by the way, don't miss the Real Life Network. It's packed with relatable, family-friendly content that really speaks to everyday challenges and triumphs, offering something really valuable for every member of your family. Now, if you're new to the faith, you want to refresh your perspective, start with that tab that says Know God, an accessible, welcoming space to learn and reflect and find your footing. Now, whatever your path, jackhibbs.com has the tools and the insights and the encouragement that you need. Tune in, log on, find something real. Once again, the website, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.